All right, Genesis chapter 1. Look if you would in verse 26. I don't even need to say that this is a familiar passage, because as you've heard me again say often, if you've ever tried to read your Bible through, you usually at least get as far as Genesis 1. So Genesis 1 in verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him. Created he them. And God blessed them. Now I want you to notice this next phrase. And God said unto them. God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, doesn't say unto them, but that's what it means. God said unto them, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is in the fruit of the earth, tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. If you can imagine this morning that you were in a large assembly, maybe in a stadium, you know, just a huge assembly area of some kind, and the president was going to speak, and you're waiting for that to take place, and all of a sudden they call everyone to attention, you know, as the president enters, and as he enters, he comes down the aisle way, you know, making his way to the platform, and when he gets to you, he stops and speaks to you. Not only does he speak to you, but he holds a short conversation with you. And you're the only person in the whole stadium that he does this to. He just stops by you, speaks to you for a while, and then moves on and does his speech as he was scheduled to do. Now, if that happened to you, the news media would be on that. Wouldn't they? I mean, that would be significant. If he had stopped and talked to a bunch of people, it might not be. But if he only talked to you, that would be significant. I mean, the news media would be wondering why he took the time to talk to you. Why did he stop by that person's speech? And they would be digging into you to find out who you are and why it is that the president talked to this person. Hey, I just had this thought. You better hope it's after January, not before January, because if he stops and talks to you after January, you might be up for the Nobel Peace Prize. If he stops before January, you're probably a Russian spy, all right? But any rate, if the president stops and talks to you, and you're the only person he talks to, that would be a significant thing. That would be extremely unique. If you can get that idea in your mind, then you can kind of understand where we're headed this morning with the message, because understanding that is vital to understanding who we are and what makes us different than everything else. God spoke to us. God said to us. That makes us different, and that makes us unique. And that's what gives us our title this morning, What Makes Us Different. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and speak to him. What do you say? And ask God's help this morning as we're going to. Brother Pelican, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning, Lord, and for being able to be in your house this morning. Thank you for your word, and thank you that we have it, Lord, and that you've given it to us so that we can know you more. I do pray that you please bless the rest of this day, and may we honor and praise you in all of it, Lord. And we ask this now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks again, as always, for standing this morning. What makes us different? What makes us different? You know, as I thought about this passage, and it's a passage, again, that we're all familiar with, and I'm sure many of us here this morning have read this passage countless times, probably wouldn't have any idea how many times I've read Genesis chapter 1, and so, again, we're very familiar with it. But as we think about this, often in our minds, and in all honesty, in preaching, we tie our need for God to sin. We tie our need to God to sin and to the fall, or we tie our need to God for the problems that are related to the fall. We go through a lot of problems because of the fall, because we live in a sin-cursed world and sin-cursed bodies, and so because of that and our sin-cursed thinking, we go through a lot of troubles and trials and problems in our life. And so we kind of tend, because of that, to tie our need for God to those things. I need God because I'm a sinner. I need God because I was on my way to hell. I need God because I'm under condemnation. I need God because of all the problems and trials that come into my life and the uncertainty of life. And so because of that, I need God. And if you think about this, then I think this is true. If it were not for people's fear of death, if it weren't for people's fear of death or hell or the problems that come into their life that are out of their control, most people would see very little, if any, need for God. Isn't that true? If we moved hell and condemnation, if we took that out of the equation, and if we took the problems of life out of the equation, the average person would see no real need for God. Why do I need God? I'm not going to hell. I'm not under condemnation. I don't have any big problems in my life right now. So why would I need Him? And I think that would be most people's opinion. And there's no doubt, listen, there's no doubt this morning that sin and death and the problems that we face in life, they magnify our need for God. There's no doubt that they certainly indicate how badly we need Him in our life. But that's not the only reason we need Him. You know, because of the fall in Genesis chapter 3 and because of our sinful natures, we absolutely need God. There's no doubt about it. We need the plan of salvation that God designed, that and He only planned one. And so we need that. We certainly need Him because of our sin and that plan that He provided. We need the plan that He carried out and paid for in the blood of His precious Son. We need the plan that He offers to whosoever will, if they'll receive it in faith and repentance. We need that plan. We need that plan that once accepted in repentance and faith brings regeneration, brings conversion, brings a new birth, brings new life. We certainly need that because of our sin, not to mention the fact that I need a home in heaven. Amen. And we need Him in order to inherit that and to be with Christ throughout all of eternity. Then after we get saved, we don't need Him any less. Amen. Once we get saved, we desperately need God in dealing with living in this sinful world, the world that Luke calls this untoward generation. We need God to understand how to live in this sinful world, to experience the trials of life. You know, we need Him and His Word if we're going to experience the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10. We're going to need Him for all of those things. And so there's no doubt that we do need God in those areas. But you know, this morning, our need for God, and this is what I was thinking about this week, and that is that our need for God preceded the fall. It preceded our sin, even our condemnation, so that before we were ever lost, we needed God. Before we ever fell under sin, we needed God. Before there was ever condemnation, we needed God. And again, in our minds, we are so desperately in need of salvation that I understand why it is that our minds go to that when we think about our need for God. But the truth is, we needed Him long before that. You know, our sin and condemnation just makes God more necessary in our lives, or another reason why we need Him, but it's far from the only reason that we need God. I'm just saying this morning that we needed God from the beginning. Right. We needed God before the fall, before we were all sinners in Adam or sinners in our own right. We needed Him. And while many of us believe it, I'm sure this morning, I'm sure all of us would say this, that man, we needed God regardless of our sin. I think we would all probably testify to the fact that that's true. But the truth of the matter is that though many people would say amen to that, that we need God regardless of our sin, we see God and our need of Him primarily wrapped up in our sin, primarily wrapped up to secure a home in heaven, which is why we see so many people who make a profession of faith or claim to get saved, and it's not long after they get saved that then they fade away, because it's almost as if becoming a Christian is checking off a box in their life. They've completed that task. Now that God has met that need, I can move on with my life and live it the way I want to. And so there's almost this concept that once that need of salvation and condemnation is met, then I don't need God anymore. And I'm assuming you don't believe that this morning because you're here and most of you profess to be saved. So apparently you haven't felt the need to move on from God after you got saved. But it's this mentality that I'm saved now, so and I'm no longer headed to hell, so there's no need for me to be too serious about God any longer in my life because He's met the one need that I need God for. And so therefore, I can move on. Amen? Amen. Now, the truth is that our need for God, as I said, came before man ever knew about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Our need for God came before there was ever the command to not eat of the tree. Before that ever happened, we still needed God. We needed God before we became sinners, before we had fallen into sin. Our need for God was no less before the fall than it was after the fall. And even if you can imagine yourself, and some people can, but even if you can imagine yourself perfect this morning, even if you can imagine yourself as sinless, a perfect sinless being, if you can strain your brain to possibly imagine that, you would still need God, even if it were true. Now, it's not true. We're not perfect. Amen. We're all sinners before God. But even if we can imagine ourselves not so, you would still need God, even though you weren't a sinner. Because our need for God isn't tied to our sin. It's just another reason why we need God. But it is not the reason we needed God. We've needed God from the moment God breathed life into man and he became a living soul. We needed him. Now, most of us, I'm sure probably all of us, have read the history of creation in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm sure we've read it many times, as I said, and we kind of just mindlessly blow through it when we read it. If you're like me, you know, I've read it so many times, I'm like, yeah, okay, I've read this countless times. And so we kind of just move on through it. And so because of that, when we start back through our Bible reading again, we're back in Genesis 1 again, and so we read that without really giving it much serious thought. And since we don't give it much serious thought, which is always a mistake in relationship to God's Word, not giving any passage serious thought, and so since we don't give it a great deal of serious thought, sometimes we miss important truths. It's a danger in our Bible reading. This is one of the problems with reading based on a calendar or so many chapters a day. We read through it mindlessly and we miss important things because we've read it so many times we just tend to skip over it. And that's certainly true here. We miss some of the important details when it comes to creation. Now, I want you to notice this, again, something we already know. This part we understand, that there's a common truth in the creation account as God makes here the physical creation. When I talk about the physical creation or that which God created, I'm talking about what he made in these 6 days. It's recorded in the book of Genesis. So keep that in your mind so I don't have to keep saying it over and over again. We're talking about the 6 days of creation. So there's a common truth in the 6 days of creation that runs throughout it. On day one, you can just kind of glance back if you want to. We're not going to read all of it. But on day one, God spoke the formless earth into existence. And when he spoke it into existence, not only did he speak the formless earth into existence, but he created light and darkness. And when God completed that, what did he say? It is good. Because everything God does is good. So God created the formless earth, and he made the light and the darkness, and God said of that which he had made, it is good. Then on day two, God brought form to the earth, and it only took him a day. It didn't take him thousands of years and some type of Christianized evolution. God brought forth the land and brought form to the formless earth, and he did it in one 24-hour day, just like the Bible says. And he brought forth the dry land, and he divided the waters, as well as creating the heavens above the earth. And God said of it, it is good. It is good. Then he went on the first 5 days, the other 5 days or so, he created the trees and the fruit trees and the vegetables and vegetation. He created the water creatures, the birds of the air. He formed the cattle of the earth, which he gave us for meat. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, so he gave us the cattle for meat and creeping things. We don't care about those. But he made the beasts of the earth. And so he created all of these things that he made. And concerning all of these things, he says, they were good. And he summarizes chapter 1 at the end of the chapter by saying that all that he made was good. Amen. So God says that about all that he did and all that he made. But on day 6, something different happened. Because on day 6 is when he scooped up some dirt and formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into him. And Adam and all of us through Adam became living souls. In chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So this is different. God didn't speak us into existence. God formed us of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Not only was the way we were made different from everything else, but what God did next is significant compared to everything else that God made. And what God does next is one of those things that makes us so much different than everything else. Because rather than just simply pronouncing us good, God goes a step further and did something that he didn't do to anything else in the 6 days of creation. And that is this, he spoke to us. Come on, that's different than anything else that God did. One of the things that makes us so unique is not only the way God made us, not only the way that God formed us, and not only the fact that he breathed the breath of life into us and we became a living soul, but he spoke to us. which is not something he did to anything else he made during the six original days of creation. Now, I understand he spoke to angels and so forth, but we're talking about the 6 days of creation. Us, God spoke to us, and that's what makes us unique. He spoke to us. Rather than pronouncing us good, God manifests that by speaking to us. And as we read in the text when we first started, we were and still are the only thing in the original 6 days of creation in Genesis 1 and 2 that God speaks to. We're the only thing of the original 6 days that God speaks to. You'll read in the Bible from time to time where God speaks to the sea, where God speaks to the sun or the creation or some other thing. Those are anthropomorphism, which is a fancy way of saying God's trying to get us to understand that he's in control of all things. But God isn't holding a conversation with the sea. And God's not talking to cows. And he's not talking to dogs. And he most certainly isn't talking to cats. Say amen. Amen. You know why? Because God is holy and cats are evil. So therefore, God's not speaking to them. And so we know that God's not holding conversations with those things. He speaks to us. Now, come on, listen. I know this is common knowledge for us. Yeah, God talks to us. But it's what makes us different. Right. It's what makes us unique out of all creation that God chose to speak to us. Right. And that he is still speaking to us. Amen. Even to this day. It's one of the things that makes us so much different. You know, I don't like to overuse the word awesome, because overusing the word awesome kind of defeats the idea of the word awesome. But it's an awesome thing that God, out of all things that he made in those 6 days, speaks to us. And it's a pretty awesome thing that he is still speaking to us, even today, even to the day that we live in. Now, notice that God, I want you to notice that God didn't begin to speak to us after the fall. You know, it wasn't when Adam fell in the garden, when God shows up in the garden that day after he fell. It wasn't when God said, Adam, where art thou? That's not the first time God spoke to Adam. God was speaking to us before we ever fell. So what that means is that God was communicating with us before we ever became sinners. So what that means is that God's desire to communicate with us is not tied to our sin. It's not tied to our condemnation. It's not tied to our need to be saved. It's not tied to our need to receive him as Savior so we can have a hope in heaven. He was talking to us before that. And I'm just saying this morning, it goes to part of what makes us so unique is that God chose to speak to us and talk to us. He began speaking to us from the moment he created us. No, it's what the Bible says. He scooped up a handful of dirt, formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and God said unto him. And God began immediately to speak to Adam and to speak to us. From God's side of things, if we are the only thing in the creation account that God speaks to, the only thing in the creation account that God converses with, now this is deep, you want to write this down, God must have something to say. Does that make sense to us? If we're the only thing, now if God was talking to cows, I'd think to myself, God must have something to say to cows. But God doesn't talk to cows, he talks to us. And if God made us, formed us, and the very first thing that God does after he forms us is speak to us, that must mean God's got something to say. Look over, if you will, in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. God has something to say. He must have something he wants to tell us. I can help you out a little bit this morning. He's got a lot of somethings he wants to say to us. But God desires to communicate with us. And he's got something to say to us. And it makes us unique and different. We're so used to it. We're so used to having God's Word and being indwelt by the Spirit of God and God speaking to us in that still small voice or speaking to us out of his Word that we don't think about the fact of how unique we are that God speaks with us. Deuteronomy chapter 4, speaking to Israel, kind of highlights this or illustrates it. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 32, it says this, "For ask now of the days that are past." Ask about the past, the history. "Which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as great as this great thing, or hath heard like it. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before their eyes, and unto thee has showed, and that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. Now, I know that God is speaking to Israel here, but we could take that passage and make the same application to us as the human race. Who would have ever thought that God would speak to us, that God would desire to speak to us, so that he might instruct us? Come on, God's got something to say. The reason God spoke to Israel from that mountaintop, and the reason Moses records this, says, go and ask from one end of heaven to the other. Search throughout history and find out if anything as great as this has ever happened, that God would speak to a people. And if he spoke to us out of all that which he made in those 6 days, then God must have something to say to us. Can I help you out a little bit? It's more than I love you. Now, I know most of the Christian world today thinks the only thing God has to say is I love you. But it's more than I love you. You know how I know it's more than I love you? Because he took 66 books to say it. Hey, 66 books to say it. What God has to say to us takes up 1,189 chapters, 31,000 verses, over 3 million letters, of which Jesus said every jot and tittle is important. Not one will fail. So God has something that he wants to say to us. From our side, that's from God's side, but from our side, if we're the only thing in the creation account in the Bible that God spoke to and is speaking to above all creation, then we need to listen. Isn't this deep? We need to listen. God spoke only to us. And he took 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,000 verses, over 3 million letters to say it. We need to listen to what God has to say, because it's significant. Malachi chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Isn't that good advice? Hear ye now what the Lord saith. So from the creation account, we can see that God is speaking to us, and it is not tied to the fall. It's tied to our creation. You with me? It's tied to our creation. Now, we absolutely need to hear God as a part of the fall. We'd all agree with that. I mean, we all need to hear God as a part of the fall. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open, he says, I will come in unto them. And we definitely need that in relationship. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to hear him concerning his redemptive work. You need to hear him concerning the plan of salvation, because he's got nothing else to say to you until you come by way of his one plan of salvation. So if you're not saved today, it might be why you're not hearing from him. So you certainly need to hear him concerning his redemptive work, concerning his salvation. This means that we don't need to hear God, though, just because of our fallen and condemned hearts. We needed to hear God before the fall. Now, you with me? We need to hear God because of our need of salvation, but God was talking to us before the fall ever happened. So hearing from God is a part of who we are. Oh, no, are you following me? He started talking to us after creation, before we fell, which means this, that his speaking to us is tied up in our creation, which means that being tied up in our creation, it is a part, it is a very part of who we are. We are the thing that God made that he speaks to. That is unique. And it goes to who we are. Hear from God is a part of who we are. It's a part of what we are, so much so, would you believe this morning, that we cannot be complete as God intended unless we listen to what he has to tell us? No man, no woman, no person can be complete in their life if they are not listening to God. Because we were made to hear his voice. This rules out the person who makes a profession of faith and then sees no serious further need to listen. That's why Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. If you're saved this morning, you should hear and have a desire to hear his voice. Because we were made in the creation, and we were certainly made in the new creation, the new birth, to hear his voice. Listen, young people this morning, if you think you can launch out when you turn 18 and ignore the voice of God, you're in for a rough ride. We need to hear his voice. This rules out the person who's not a Christian and thinks they don't need to hear from God. This rules out the world who thinks, I don't have time to listen to God. I don't need to hear God. I don't need to hear any of this. That's the reason Hebrews says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You need to get saved and listen to what God says about your need to be saved. You know, this shames the rest of us. Are you with me? This shames the rest of us who are saved. And knowing that we are the only thing in the 6 day of creation account that God talks to, and yet we have to be preached to constantly pick up our Bibles. And we have to be constantly preached to read God's Word and to listen. And it's amazing that of all people, of all the people which God created to hear, that his own people, his children, those who profess to be saved, it's amazing that we struggle with hearing him because we fail to pick up the Word of God as we should. Good advice in Malachi 6, thus saith the Lord, hear ye him. Listen to him. It's a shame how often we fail to pick up his Word. And can I say this? It's a shame how often God's people will bypass God's voice found in his Word for the world's wisdom. When we should just hear him and what he has to say. Are you following me this morning? Are you getting it? That it's an amazing thing that God wants to speak to you. And it's what makes us so much different, so much more unique than the rest of the creation. You know why we're not dogs like the, you know why we're not the height of the animal kingdom? You know why a human life is far more valuable than the life of a pet or a cat or a dog? Because only we hear his voice. That makes us different, makes us unique. Now, when we fail to listen to him, as the only thing God speaks to, again, in that 6 day creation, I understand God speaks to the angels. I get it for all you theologians. But in the original 6 days, being the only thing that God spoke to, think about this with me. When out of all that he made those 6 days, he only spoke to us. When we fail to listen, when we fail to pick up his word and to hear his voice, Brother Sam, what we effectively do is this. We relegate ourselves to the position of being no better than the animals. No. We relegate ourselves to a lower place in creation. Oh, come on. How can that not be true? One of the things that elevates us is that God spoke to us. One thing that makes you more valuable than a cat or a dog or a llama or an emu or whatever thing you think of, whatever makes you more valuable than a duck-billed platypus, amen, the thing that makes you, I don't know how come that came to mind, but whatever, what makes you more valuable than all of that is that God speaks to us. And when you and I don't listen, when we go days on end without picking up his Bible, when we go days on end or Sunday after Sunday without availing ourselves of the preaching of the Word of God, or when we're not listening to that voice of God as he speaks to our heart, really all we're doing is relegating ourselves to a lower place in creation. We're making ourselves equal with the animals when we were supposed to be superior because God spoke to us. And we really do nothing but drag ourselves down to the level of the rest of creation that God made when we fail to listen. We relegate ourselves to the level of the rest of the creation that God does not communicate with. Think about this the next time. Listen, think about this the next time you think, well, I don't think I need preaching of the Word of God today. Think about that the next time you don't pick up your Bible for a few days. Think about the fact that in doing so, we're placing ourselves on the same level as cows and dogs and chickens that don't hear his voice. It's what makes us different, is we can hear his voice. Proverbs 32:9 says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding. Don't relegate yourself to that low position of the animal kingdom because God spoke to you. And we should be listening. I think it's amazing that God speaks to us. It's awesome. Amen. Amen, that God speaks to us. And we don't listen as God speaks to only us and all that He made. We forfeit that which makes us different. Mm-hmm. We forfeit that which makes us unique. And when man makes himself, come on, this is true. When man makes himself like an animal and not hearing God's word, he acts like an animal. When man relegates himself to a lower creation, he acts like the lower creation. When he relegates himself to a position of a dog, he acts like a dog. When he fails to hear God's word. When you look around the world today, and man's wisdom who don't think they need to hear from God, look what we've done. We're worse than animals in morality and other things. Why would we be surprised? Because we're failing to listen to Him, which is what makes us so unique. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is this. I want to notice, what is it specifically? What is it that is specific? This thing of the fact that we were created, God speaks to us, that makes us unique. But what specifically in this uniqueness is important? What specifically makes us unique in hearing God's voice? Why don't you just see two or three things and we'll be done. First of all, within this concept of God speaking to us, one of the things that makes us extraordinarily unique is this. First, in being the only thing that God made in those 6 days that He speaks to, it means that we were created to receive His word. Does that make sense? One writer said this, we were made revelation receivers. That's what we were made to be. We were made to be revelation receivers. When God formed us, if the first thing that He did was speak to us, well, that absolutely must mean that God made us to receive what He has to say. One of our purposes is to listen. What do you think God says so many times? For the Lord has said, for God has said, listen, ye that have ears to hear, let him hear. God made us to listen. What we need to do many times is stop talking and listen. Stop justifying and listen. Stop excusing and listen. Stop reasoning and listen. Be still and know that He is God and not we ourselves. God made us to listen. That's why He gave us two ears so we could listen better. I don't know. He gave us ears so that we could hear. Come on, you never told your kids, use your ears. Listen. God made us to listen. God must look at His children sometimes. Well, He does when He says, you have ears, listen. God made us to hear, to receive His word. We're the only thing in the 6 days of creation that God made that can hear, understand, discern, and apply His word. Boy, you don't look, I see, if I'd have been sitting out there, I'd have said, amen. That preacher knows what he's talking about. Amen. We're the only thing that God created in those 6 days that can hear, understand, discern, and apply His word. We were made to receive. And it's not because of the fall. It was before the fall. God made us to be receivers of His word. This was true before He ever made Eve. God made us to communicate before He ever made Eve. Now, it's absolutely true that communication grew after He made the woman. Not as quiet in the garden after that. But He made us to receive, which means that while we need to hear, understand, and discern, and apply conversation in human relationships, He gave us this ability to communicate. He gave us this ability to hear, to understand, and discern, certainly to help us talk to each other. I mean, it's going to be hard to repopulate the earth or populate the earth and do all that God says if we don't talk to each other. So God certainly made us to be able to do that. But God gave us that ability before He ever made the woman. Which means that this thing of conversation and hearing, receiving, and understanding is tied more to the fact that we're made to listen to God than it is that we were made to listen to one another. We were built to receive from Him and to hear from Him. Nothing else God made in those 6 days has that ability. because it was only given to us. We are the only ones who can receive God's word, hear, understand, discern, and apply his word. You do understand that dogs aren't doing that. Oh, come on. Dogs aren't standing around in a pack in the backyard having a discussion about theology. They're not discussing God's will for their life. They're not debating about what they can and can't do. Right? They're not debating any of those things. This means that even if we had never fallen, we were still made to receive God's word. His voice, and even if we were not sinners, even if we were not sinners today, Brother Matt, we would still need to hear God. And still need to hear his voice. Fall or not, we could not live. Fall or not, we could not live the abundant life without hearing, understanding, discerning, and applying his word. We still couldn't do it. So even if you can imagine what it would be like for us not to be sinners, we would not need his word any less than we need it now. Because we were made to hear it. We were made to receive it. Do you understand what a powerful gift it is to be able to hear God's word, to understand it, process it, make discernments with it, apply it to life, the problems and the difficulties of life, what an ability that is. Cats and dogs and chickens, they just act on instinct. We hear, understand, discern, and apply. And he only gave it to us because we're the only ones who need it. Because we're the only thing he made to speak to in those 6 days. Not only that, secondly, not only does our unique ability in all creation to hear God's voice help us to hear and understand and discern and apply God's word, but secondly, this ability, the second thing we need to notice is this ability defines who we are. We were in Deuteronomy, I'm still there. If you aren't, you can turn back over to verse 32 if you want, where it says, "Ask now of the days that were past, which were before thee, since the Lord created man upon the earth, ask from one side of heaven to the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing that hath been. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived?" This speaking to Israel is what made them unique. And it's what makes us again. This whole thing of God speaking to us is what makes us unique. And that ability defines us. My understanding, listen, my understanding of who I am, my value, doesn't come from how much stuff I have. My understanding of who I am and my value doesn't come from my material gain. It doesn't come from my attaboys at work. It doesn't come from my promotion. It doesn't come from my wife telling me how great I am, although she does it all the time. It doesn't come from that. That's not where I get it from. My value comes from the fact that I can hear and understand and discern God's word. Hey, and he talks to me. That's where my value comes from. That God speaks to me. And it defines who I am. Come on, you tell me this morning that God speaking to you doesn't define who you are? Certainly defines who we are. And when we get saved, that becomes so evident. If we listen and apply and discern, it becomes so evident that at this point, since I've gotten saved, God's word more so than ever before defines who I am. Our nation was once defined by the fact that as a nation, at least, we believed in God. And as a nation, we applied his commandments. As a nation, we ruled based on morality, based on his word. And it defined who we were. Now, we've blown all that now and decided we want to go with secularism and live like a bunch of animals, because when you don't listen to God, you live like animals. But once you get saved, it begins to define who you are. And people see it and notice it. What happened to you? Now, if you tell them, "God's talking to me," they'll probably block you up. But we know what we mean. We're hearing and listening and discerning and applying. And it begins to define our very life. It defines who we are and what we are. It defines, you know, what I am comes from his word. How to live my life comes from hearing his voice. How to raise my family comes from discerning what God says to me. How to respond to the circumstances and the situation in life comes from hearing his voice as he speaks to me out of his word. My perspective of the world, how I see the world, Brother Sam, is the result of what God says to me. Now God speaks to me. Defines who I am. Defines who I am as a Christian, defines who I am as a husband or a father or a grandfather, defines who I am as a voter, defines who I am as a citizen, as an employee, defines every aspect of my life. Because God uniquely speaks to us. We're the only thing in the 6 days of creation that has that. Animals don't have that because they don't need it. They are not defined, animals are not, by God speaking to them. Animals simply act on instinct. That's all they do. They just act on instinct. They just go through life doing what their flesh drives them to do. Want me to stop there for a while? Just goes through life doing what the flesh drives them to do. Because when you don't listen to God's voice, relegate yourself, Brother Chad, to a place of an animal, you just do what the flesh drives you to do. Animals don't do that. When man relegates himself to the level of animal by not hearing God's word like the animals, we just do what the flesh drives us to do. We can hear God, understand his word, discern it, and apply it, which defines who we are. The only thing made in his image, made to live in obedience to his voice, that we might be pleasing in his sight and blessed as a result of that. God gives us the ability to do that, and it defines again who and what we are. And if you're saved this morning and you are not defined by hearing his voice out of his word, there's something wrong in your life. Because we should be defined by his voice. And then lastly, and we're done. Because we're the only thing made in the creation that God speaks to and has the ability to hear and understand and discern and apply, the only thing that's defined by its ability, by our ability to hear God's word. Animals aren't defined by that. They're defined by instinct. We're defined by our ability to hear God's word. Something that defines who we are. It means that we are the only thing God made in those 6 days that has the ability to understand the purpose of their life. We're the only thing that has the ability to understand the purpose of our life. We've been working in Ecclesiastes in Sunday school, but turn over there to Ecclesiastes 12. Many of you know the passage, but it does you good to read it probably about every day. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For man shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. How do we know that? Because God has spoken to us and told us what our duty is. We're the only thing, of what God made on those 6 days that understands why they're here. That understands their purpose. That understands the meaning of all of this. We're the only thing when we listen to his voice. And we understand and we discern and we apply. It begins to shape and form who we are. And it begins to dawn on us why we're here. And we're the only thing. Listen, chickens are not out in the pen having a philosophical discussion about why they're here. Dogs aren't standing around talking about, you know, I've really been wrestling, Fido, his friend Fido. I've really been wrestling with the meaning of life. And why we are here. There's a lot of other things they should ask other than why they're here, why they do. That's another story. I would ask why I return to my vomit. It's what, that'd be a question I'd want to know. And some other things. They're not standing around having these philosophical discussions. But you know what? When man fails to listen to the voice of God, he relegates himself to the lower creation. And he begins to have those discussions. Why are we here? What's the use? What's the purpose of life? I feel so meaningless, I'm going to take my own life. Why are they having those philosophical discussions? Because they've relegated themselves to the lower creation, and they're ignoring the voice of God, which if they would listen to and discern and understand and apply, they would realize their purpose. We are here to serve God, reverence him, give him glory, and fear him. That's right. In everything that we do. Amen. And it's what gives us purpose. You wouldn't know that if God hadn't told you. Because he tells us. Like I said, animals don't have that ability. So they live their lives. Animals live their lives day in and day out based on nothing more than the instinct to survive another day. Like a lot of people you know. Live their life to go to work, come home, go to work, come home, go to work for the weekend. so they can go back to work, and they're living their life day in and day out to survive, hoping they live long enough to retire. Amen? So they can do nothing until they die. You know what animals do? They live day in and day out. They get up and hunt and gather, whatever it is they do. Then they go to bed at night so they can get up and hunt and gather. And one of these days, they die. I don't think animals dream of retirement, but one of these days, they just die. This is what happens when you make yourself like the lower creation. When we hear His voice, we understand our purpose. We understand our place in creation. And by heeding His voice, we understand why we're created and why we're here. And we're the only thing in those 6 days that God gave this great blessing. The ability to hear His voice, to understand, to discern and apply so that we might know who we are and what we are and why we are. And when you forsake that, you go spiraling down in depression and discouragement and the big issues of life. Why are we here? And you stand around having those great philosophical discussions about why are we all here? When God is screaming from the mountaintop, here's why we are here. Mm-hmm. Listen this morning, we're unique. Amen. From all other things made in those 6 days of creation, because we alone were made to hear, understand, and discern and apply. God's got something to say to us, and He made us to receive it. We were made to be revelation receivers, as the writer said. We were made to understand who we are and how to live this life abundantly. We were created to hear His voice so that we might know the purpose behind all that we do, to worship God and to bring Him glory. And once again, when we choose to ignore His voice, we fail to read His word, we fail to listen and apply preaching in our life, and to see our unique position and value before God, we relegate ourselves to the level of the rest of creation and make ourselves like cows and chickens and dogs and rocks, which don't have the ability here. We're so unique from all the rest of the six-day creation that we're the only thing that God spoke to and still speaks to, and so we need to hear His voice, fall or not, sin or not, trials or problems or not, we need to hear His voice. And if we're saved today, you'll make a mess out of your life if you don't listen. Listen, young people, you will make a mess out of your life if you don't keep listening to His voice. If you think when you turn 18 or whatever age it is that you think you can get out on your own and do your own thing and you're going to set aside God's voice, you're making yourself like the lower creation and you will make a mess out of your life like an animal. Don't ever stop listening to His voice. God spoke only to us and He still does in His word. You and I will never have the life God intended if we relegate ourselves to the level of the animals. We're so blessed. We are so blessed to have His word. Amen. To possess the very words of Almighty God. The most valuable thing we possess is right here. And not only did God give it to us, but He gave it to us because He has something to say to us. And since He has something to say to us, He gave us a unique ability to understand it, discern it, and apply it. Malachi 6 says this, "Hear ye Him." God forgive us when we go days without picking up our Bible. God forgive us when we bypass His word for the world's wisdom. God forgive us when we don't listen and pay attention and apply His word in our life. Amen? When He's given us such a unique thing. God forgive us when we relegate ourselves to the lower creation, but not taking advantage of the one unique thing that God placed in us, the ability to receive and understand. Let's be hearers of His word, amen, and doers of it. Why don't you stand with me if you would?